Well, good morning, church. Hey, welcome to Youth Pastor Preach Sunday, okay? It's a national holiday that doesn't get recognized, which is pretty much appropriate, okay? So, my name is Colin Sosby. I serve as the student pastor here at Gateway, and it's an honor and privilege not only just to say that, to be here this morning in this spot. A huge shout out to Pastor Blake for trusting me to bring God's word to you. And I just want to say thank you to you guys as a church. The love and support that you have for me and my family, it's unlike any other church we've been at. And so we feel like this is home. Hopefully you feel like this can be home for us too. And we stay together for the long run, okay? So this morning I was kind of just thinking about the opportunity I have. We're going into the new year. How many of us have got a resolution or two that we've got kind of pinned down, like, hey, this is going to change in the next year? Nobody planned ahead? All right, hey, this is great. This is a good time to start. Diets are easy, reading books. Some of us prepare that way. Obviously, nobody at the 8 o'clock prepared, but it's fun. It's fine. So usually I'm not the, like, hey, I'm going to stick to a diet plan. And I always hate saying that I'm going to read the whole entire Bible throughout the year, because then we all get to Leviticus and we all know what happens there. Oh, it ends. So I kind of committing into some different areas, but also I just pick a word for the year. And so I'll tell you that maybe later, or you can ask me about it. I don't know. But it kind of got me in this mindset of so many times we're preparing for this new year. You just got out of a season of preparing from Thanksgiving and Christmas to, you know, you're preparing for family to come over or preparing to go to family or spend time. And you know what I mean. Like, there's family members that you have to, like, prepare extra for, right? And if you're like, no, my family's great, you get it, right? But like we all get in this season of just preparing. We're preparing for something, preparing for what's next. For me personally, I'll let you behind the scenes a little bit. We're preparing for baby Maverick, my third-born son, to come into the world. It could be any day now, and this is the behind the scenes. Chris has got a backup devotional that he had prepared, special for you guys today, just in case at the last second I'm like, hey, it's go time. Day is still young. We'll see. But we always are preparing and preparing and preparing, right? So even just my life has been not only just moving into a new house, but also preparing a room for Maverick to be, set up for, right? And it's just a lot of just moving parts. And yet, sometimes we don't come into this place spiritually prepared, right? Like, preparation is key for everything, but we'll come into here as business is like usual. It's just another Sunday, right? It's just Youth Pastor Preach Sunday. And so I was kind of just thinking about that and just that word preparing and thinking about one passage and one parable that Jesus is sharing, and it's the parable of the soil. So if you've got your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, Jesus is going to share this parable. The people don't get it, so he's going to explain this parable. I'm just going to share with you what Jesus shared with us. But in this parable, we'll see different soils, and what he was actually trying to get to, and I'm going to just explain it a little bit, is that our heart is the soil, the seed is God's word, and God is the not only just the planter and the farmer, but what we see is what matters is where is our heart in just preparation. Are we prepared to hear from God? Are we prepared to hear God's word, right? Because I know so many times I can walk into here and it's just business as normal. I'm just going through the motions. But I also know as an adult that, like, life just is, it's one day after the next and you're just not prepared. But what if you walked in, not only just this year, but what if you kind of walked into the situation where you're prepared for God to do something special in 2025? What if your heart was prepared for him to move in power this upcoming year? Not that this is going to be this prosperity, your best life now kind of scenario, but what I am actually saying is God wants to move in your life, and God can do more in a moment than you can do in a lifetime. You just have to be prepared for him to work. And it takes that simple effort. And I think the soils, there's different soils for a reason, because there's different stages of our hearts and our lives. So in God's word, Jesus is saying this in Matthew 13. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got in the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And so Jesus has got this seaside talk that he's having. He's sitting on a boat and he's talking to these people. And even some of the disciples would say, hey, why do you speak in parables? Because we know that Jesus can get into a temple setting and he can preach, but he's kind of relaxed here. He's sitting back and he's telling this story. And even what he would say is that, hey, I share this so that even somebody who's far from me and who would not have an understanding of anything from the past or any knowledge of the Old Testament, they can hear and they can understand. And so then he goes on and he's talking about these soils and he's really speaking to us and saying, hey, are you prepared and what soil are you, right? And so I'm going to ask you that question this morning and we're going to go through these soils. It's Youth Pastor Preach Sunday, so I've got a visual for you guys. But I want us to ask that question. I don't want you to ask what soil is the person next to me in, right? Because you can be a good Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's a better Holy Spirit than you're a Holy Spirit. And honestly, like, I want you to ask for yourself because this matters. And it matters a lot for you. Right? And so the first soil that he talks about is this soil that it's flat, it gets trampled on. I called this a resistant heart. Right, so I'm going to talk about these as hearts, but just this is a resistant heart. You can see here, this is pretty put together. I know it's probably harder to see in the back, maybe just because of that. But I mean, it's trampled on, it's flat, it's not moving anywhere. It would probably take a little bit more effort to dump it all out than not. But what Jesus is saying is, hey, there's some seeds that fell along a path. And that would paint this picture of something that has been walked on back and forth. Right? And you know, the more that you go into a routine, the more that rut set in and the more that that's kind of just set ground. Nothing is going to, you know, in fact, if I had seed and I put the seed in here, it would just lay on top and it would never settle. And so I call this a resistant heart because there's at least, and I just know in a room this size, there's one person who walked in here and you have a resistant heart. You listen to every single sermon to try to prove it wrong. That God's word's never taken root in your heart. In fact, the evil one takes it away. You're allowing Satan to do work in your heart, and you're not allowing God to do work in your heart. You're resistant, right? I mean, I have toddlers, so I see this on a daily basis, but I know what resistance to some instruction is. In fact, this whole entire Christmas break has been, don't jump on the couch, and then somebody does, and then they fall, they get hurt. What'd you expect, right? That's my parenting, just in case you know. Katie's way softer, so don't call CPS. It's fine. But there's some resistance to hearing truth. And maybe you've walked into this place, and it could have been church hurt. I don't know what your story is. It could be that you just don't think God is real. And you're only here because maybe a friend brings you or has told you, or you're here because a spouse drags you, but you have a resistant heart. Like, you are so resistant to God's word, to God's truth, to God working in your life. But I want to share good news because that can sound harsh. God still loves you, and God's still going to the greatest lengths to reach you. The seed still hits the resistant heart. A good sower, a good farmer would know, hey, the seed's never going to grow there. But no, he's the best farmer that says, hey, I love you to the extent I'm still reaching out. I'm still calling you by name, right? That's the good news of the gospel is I'm still calling you by name. I'm still reaching out to you. I'm still trying to get your attention. I want what's best for you, even if you don't want me at all. Like, that hit me this week of so many times we would look at that resistant heart. And I think this is the only heart or soil that you could say or have an argument is probably a non-saved person. We go through some resistant times, but I think this is a person who's not living resistant times. I think it's a resistant life. And so there's so many times where you think about this and it's such a negative thing, but I think Jesus is trying to even say with a little bit of a hint of, hey, I'm still here though. I'm still trying. And in fact, we're not the gardener, we're not the farmer, only God is. He's the only one who can take this heart of stone and make something out of it. He's the only one who can transform lives. Right? Nobody here has a resolution for 2025 for the new year. But even if you did and you had a really good one, it's not going to do the work that God can do. Right? We're walking into a season where people are going to try to make their lives a whole lot better by working out and doing certain things, maybe cutting out certain things. Right? This is the one time of year that gym memberships, they're a premium. And they're trying so hard. And the resistant heart is the one who's trying so hard not to hear from God. And God hasn't stopped reaching out to you. So I don't know who that is in the room that you've been listening to the word. You've been just walking in here so resistant to God that you just try to prove him wrong. And God is just trying to say, let me change your heart. Let me change your life. And the story continues. He talks about this soil that is very shallow. I call this one a fragmented heart, right? This fragmented heart in verse 5, he says, the other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. I could have been harsh with this and called it a shallow heart. I called it a fragmented heart because there's many times where my heart looks like this. Right? It's just fragmented. It's divided. It's in these sections. And so even just what he's saying here is like, there's this soil, but there's rocks in the soil. And there's rocks that are keeping anything from really having much depth. Right? And as we walk through this, just because there's not a perfect person in this room. Okay? I hate to break the news to you, but there's not. And so there's always people in here that are going to just be dealing with the rocks in life. And this is the sin that you're holding on to, and it's the sin that nobody else knows about because you're really good at trying to cover up. But the reason why God's not really doing a transforming work in this season of life is because you've got rocks to deal with. And that's just like as nice as I can say that. Because I know for me, there's rocks in my life that I may not even recognize. And then I'm wondering, just in the season when life gets hard and it feels like my calendar's filling up and I'm panicking and I'm like, God, where are you? He's been there. He's trying to do the work, but there's something that maybe it's just pride or anger or bitterness that I'm holding on to, right? And you may not be able to identify the rock, but I'm sure somebody could in your life because they see it. Like there's something in your heart that you've held on to and really are just walking with. And it's a secret sin that is keeping God from really just growing and doing something great. Because it's a shallow moment. Right? Like there may be some emotional highs that come with church and you're on fire. And then the next week you're not. Or the next day you're not. And it's because you're running back to what's comfortable. Right? You're running back to what's comfortable, what's safe, what's easy. It's the rocks in your heart that are keeping you from experiencing God's best for your life. Like, I don't know how many times where I've like been begging God, like, hey, can you just give me a word? Like, I feel like I'm saying the same thing. Just give me something. And God's like, you got to get rid of the rock in your heart. And then how many times I've prayed where I'm like, hey, God, I want you to just show me where I'm not lining up with you. And how many times he's faithful, not only just to forgive, but he's faithful to show up and say, hey, this is it. This is the thing. And so maybe you're in a season today where you've walked in and life has just been busy and you feel like you're not hearing from God. And maybe it's just you. But God's faithful to take the rocks and to remove them. Don't negate that. right? Because I want you to see this. It wasn't that the farmer changed and that he's throwing out seed in different areas. The seed doesn't change, right? So many times we can walk in here and be like, well, it was that pastor. It was youth pastor preached Sunday. It was him. It was, the music wasn't right. This wasn't right. It was way too hot or cold in the room. And we point to the fingers at everything on why didn't I experience God? Maybe it was just my heart wasn't right. It's really quick to blame somebody else. It's really, really hard to look in the mirror and say, where am I chasing after something else? And that took the place of Jesus. Right? Because the enemy, he wants to still kill and destroy. So the enemy hates your marriage. He hates your family. The enemy hates all of those things. So he's trying to steal those things. So he'll paint this picture of you want to find intimacy. Well, here's a cheap version of intimacy. You can go on the internet, clear your search history. You want to just work your way up and get the attention. You want to build your kingdom. And so you'll cheat. You'll do all of the wrong things. You won't have integrity just so that you can get up to the highest rank. And you're wondering why God's not blessing it. And this may be just because you're just walking with a rock. And the rock is the unrepentant sin. It's not just the sin that is just sinful nature. I'm talking about the unrepentant sin that you have not confessed, that you have not brought up, that you have not dragged to the Lord and said, hey, here it is, forgive me. And I'm not talking from the platform of I'm not dealing with rocks in my life. But there have been many times where I've had to walk into my office and just spend time with God and confess and be like, hey, I haven't spent time with you. The time that I've had with you, God, has been me just saying, here's all the things I want to happen, but I haven't just listened. My heart hasn't been good soil, and because I'm really running with control, God, I need you to show me I'm not in control. God, I need you to show me I need to be dependent on you. And that's me confessing and laying before the rocks so that I can have the good soil that God can use my heart and run and transform my life, transform who I am. But sometimes it's taking up the digging up the soil. And the next soil, this one's a fun one. Got to clean out a little bit of my yard with this. But it's a crowded heart. In verse 7, he said, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. We don't have a whole lot of thorns here in Texas. I remember in East Texas running throughout the yard and maybe getting what I called stickers, which were just like little thorns in the foot, and they hurt. This was as close as I could think of as just weeds, right? Get a lot of crabgrass and all of this other stuff that it looks like grass, but it's weeds. And some of us, this is what our heart kind of looks like, is just chaotic, crazy, a mess. And this isn't a heart that, like, this one is really convicting one for me. Because it's not a heart that says, I don't love Jesus, that you love everything. And that's why everything's growing. Right? Especially in the business world, there's this thing of like healthy things grow. Everything grows. You've got to be the one who nurtures and feeds the right things. And so I also want to be very clear, because this is going to seem like we just cut everything out and become a cult. We're not. But a crowded heart has got something forever, has got a space for everything, and everything's growing because, and there's no doubt that you have this heart and you love your church, that you serve, that you're in a connect group, because you love to be a part of everything, right? Like you love being at everything. You love being seen. You love the people. You love everything. You have got a crowded heart. Like, and how many times, and this is, you can ask my wife, the one thing she has to like be on me about is just be at home and rest, right? And it's like when the holidays come around and everything's closed for a couple days, it bugs me a little bit because I'm like, we have to be at home. We're trapped, forced. I'm like ready to get out and do everything. My heart can get crowded for all of the wrong things. It can also just get crowded for things that are just not that bad, right? Like I wake up and I'm scrolling through Instagram. I'm checking my emails. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Maybe it's you're at everything for your kids. You're making your kids be involved in everything. You're just going, going, going. Your calendar is so full that it would seem like you're just bragging about how busy you are. I think it's a cry for help. And it's just that you love everything, and so you're part of everything. I'm going to tell you the most freeing thing you can do, and this you just repeat after me, is no. That's really freeing to just say no. Like when we talked about like looking in the mirror and just saying, hey, I need to take care of my, I have to say no. One of the most like awesome questions that Chris Degg asked me in our one-on-ones is really just how am I taking care of myself and my family? Because he knows that I like to just be at things and be at other people's family events when it's like basketball games and things like that. But maybe it's just saying no. You know, the reason why this is like not the worst case scenario is just because you have a love for God, you want him to move, you want him to, you would say that, just everything else is choking it out. Your schedule is choking out God's word. Your schedule is choking out God's movement in your life. Your thoughts of like, I just have to do this thing and I have to be here, I have to be at this meeting, I have to lead, at those thoughts literally is what's choking out God's movement in your life. And so many times we get caught up in the weeds of things that we forget God actually just wants to move. And so it's just the removal of the weeds in our life. The saying no to certain things so that we could say yes to the best thing. But most importantly, it's literally us looking and saying, I just want more of Jesus. So maybe it's an hour less of Netflix this week. Maybe it's one less event this week. Right? I think if we went down and talked about removing everything in our life, you would think that it was crazy. But the Apostle Peter didn't have social media, and he didn't have an email address. Paul wrote a lot of things, but he wasn't getting a lot of things in his inbox. Like, he had a lot of free time to write books that we study because he was in jail. Oh, the ultimate free time. And so many times we get caught up in the American dream that the weeds start to spark up. And God's not just asking just to remove them for the sake of removal. He's asking you to remove for the sake of getting more of him. A quote by Robbie Gallaty that has stuck with me. Robbie's a pastor in Tennessee, writes books, does podcasts, all the fun stuff. But he said that you can have as much of God as you want. Like, I want you to sit on that. You can have as much of God as you want. We have all access to God. We have all access to God, and yet sometimes I think we're just filling our life with a bunch of other things. I think it's the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, where the demon who's trying to teach the younger demon just how to be a demon, you know, they're talking, and this younger demon, he's excited. He's like, I know how I'm going to ruin this guy's life. We're going to make him commit murder. And he's like, oh, that's cool. That's ambitious. But a game of cards would work. Right? Like, if he just gets you distracted, if the enemy could get you distracted, he can do a lot of bad things. And sometimes it's not even bad things. Like, I love Instagram and social media, all of the things, simply because it's a way that my grandmother, who lives a couple or an hour away, can get to see the boys almost daily. It's a good thing. But good things become bad things when they become God things in your heart. And the reflection that you're having to look is digging through the weeds to remove those things that are truly keeping you from hearing from him. And it may sound crazy when you're telling people, hey, my New Year's resolution is I'm saying no to things and I'm just filling my time up with God. But I bet you give God an extra hour or even just an extra 5 minutes than what you've done in the past, he'll work in that. Like if you just set aside, hey, the 5 minutes that I used to just randomly scroll, I'm going to spend 5 minutes in prayer. That's 5 minutes more than you did yesterday. And I bet that if you start to do that and that you produce in your heart a desire for more of him, that 5 minutes can turn into more. Like your faithfulness just to say, hey, I'm going to just give a little bit and watch God work and do a lot. Because that leads me to the last heart. It's just the good heart, the good soil. You see, this is a little bit easier to move and you can do a lot with it. I mean, you can grow nice flowers, plants, whatever. And the reason why I didn't put flowers and plants in here is because we get focused on like the end goal sometimes, but the beginning goal is just to have the good soil. Like the first start is really just have the soil that God can do whatever he wants with. Because we get caught up in the growth of things, and the reality is you're not the person who does the growing. God grows. That's up to him. Your call was just to have a heart that's ready to hear from him. In the book of Hosea, it's a weird illustration that God paints for the people of Israel to see that that's who you are. And it's like this really telling story. But in Hosea 10, he says that it's time to dig up your unused ground. There's a word that is used, I think, in the ESV called the fallow ground. We don't use that all the time. But to dig up all of your unused ground, because it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. I've seen, this has been a really great year of just having a front row seat of watching God move in students' lives this year. And I would love to tell you that I could take credit for it, but I'm a redneck from Harmony, Texas, okay? The middle, you don't even know. Like, in fact, it feels like a made-up place sometimes. But I've just been praying and asking and begging God that he would just move in students' lives, that we would see a movement of God among our students. I think he's answering that prayer. But I don't think he's done. And there's daily checks that I'm having to see is where am I? Where are the rocks at in my life? What needs to be removed so I could see more of him? Right? I mean, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, when God is laying out, hey, here's the consequences of sin, you know what he tells Adam is you're going to work the ground, but it's going to stink because there's going to be thorns. Doing heart work to say, hey, God, what needs to be removed? It's going to stink because there's thorns. There's going to be some hard conversations that need to be had just with yourself. But God is saying, hey, I want to do something. I want to move. I want to work. Would you just allow me to? You can have as much of God as you want. And he's just saying, I just want your heart. I just want you. I want you to experience all of me. And sometimes we settle for second place when God is right there and he's like, hey, I've always been on the throne. Just come to me. That we'll trip and fall and really just scab our knee simply just because we were chasing after a false promise that the world was promising us. And God is like, no, I've got something way better. Just let me work. But the call is for everybody. I mean, you see how he ends it in verse 9 is that he who has ears, let him hear. He's looking at a bunch of people that have ears, just like me. I'm looking at a bunch of people. You have ears. Let him hear. To have the good soil, it's just as simple as just hearing God, not listening. I mean, hearing God and allowing him to do what only he can do, that you would hear his word. And he's given us the gift of his word, a love letter to us to say, this is the way, this is the path. You see God's character, God's heart, God's actions in the old through the new. And he's saying, hey, I've given you my heart. I want you to read it, not for the information. Spoiler alert, no pop quiz in heaven, okay? All of my bad students in school say amen. Amen, right? Just me. There's no pop quiz in heaven. But there is only one question. It's like, did you have a relationship with me? Was your heart mine? And so maybe it's just spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. I don't know what that looks like for you. But I do know that there's going to be moments where you're going to have to do the work to get to the part of having good soil. And some of us, we're walking in this because we've surrendered to God. We've given our life to God. But there's areas we need to surrender a little bit more. And here's what I mean. This illustration I heard, and it became real for me when we got a house that we're in right now. It has a keypad on the front door. Have to enter the password in. So when we got clearance to go inside, they sent us this code. And so we enter the code, we hit the check mark, we're in, right? How weird would it be if we did that and then we start to walk around and we're like, hey, the living room's nice, it's open, everything's great. We're just not allowed to get into the bedrooms because the bedrooms are locked and there's no keys. And then the company that we're renting from was like, you don't get access to that yet. You get everything else, but just not that. Everybody in here would start calling and going, hey, deal's off, we're done. But sometimes when we've surrendered our life to God, we're like, hey, you have the key to get in, but I'm not allowing you in my business heart. I'm not allowing you in the family side of things. I'm not allowing you in this area. And we hold on, and God's just saying, hey, give me the keys. And so maybe there's just things that we're just simply letting go. What if 2025 was a year that we just let go? And we're just letting God do the work in our hearts. How different would this year be for your family? I mean, think about it. The impact that he lays out is like, hey, there's some, you're going to see 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The men in the room, if we just allow God to work in our hearts, imagine the generational impact that could happen in your family. And hey, here's what I know, is that the enemy hates your family, so he's going to try to keep that generational impact. But what if it looks like you're just staying faithful to praying over your family, to praying over your kids, your grandkids? Imagine the generational impact this has. And imagine the impact it has on your life, that you would just see that God works and he's working in every area. We don't know how much, but that's not for you to worry about. I love to achieve. I love to get things done. And I love to do it at a really high level. But this is the reminder that God's the only one who produces the growth. I don't have to worry about that. I just have to worry about being faithful. And so maybe the call for you is that there is a next step, and it may be just I'm developing a prayer life. I'm going to be committing to getting into Connect Group. I'm going to be committed to serving no matter what. But maybe it just starts with, God, would you use me and would you shape my heart to be in a place to hear from you? Would you shape my heart to be in a place to hear from you? You know it would absolutely change this church as you walked in next week, prayed up, saying, God, just use me. I want to hear from you. You came in just fired up and energetic, like God's going to do something special. Hey, he is. But he'll pass over 99 churches that are lukewarm to get to the one that just wants him the most. The one that just wants more of him. So where are you at? What soil are you in? It's an important question going into a new year, because nothing in your life is going to change unless God changes it. Nothing in your life of significance is going to happen unless God is in it. But you can see the change. You can see God and his hand at work if you're just saying, God, I'm willing. I'm submitted. Here I am. Send me. God is looking all across the world for a heart that is ready to receive him. Is that your heart this morning? I'm just going to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. Before I pray, I'm just going to give you a moment with God. And I'll be in the next sub-center, and some of our staff will be in the next sub-center. We're here to talk with you and to really just discuss what God is doing in your heart. And maybe it's just the confession of sin. Here's the rocks in my life. Here's the removal of the weeds in my life. no matter what, it's a shame to walk in here to hear God's word and just to leave unchanged. That's a resistant heart. So God's calling you to do something. What is it? I'm going to give you a moment just to pray and to ask God to reveal the things in your heart that need to be removed, changed, and shaped so that he can work in your life. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for this day. God, we just ask that you would just examine our hearts, Lord, and just show us where we're at. And allow us to have an honest conversation. God, that we would see really the fruit of you working. God, allow our hearts to be pure. And God, even when we stumble and when we fall, God, we know that you love us and that you're running after us. You don't give up on us. So God, remind us of that truth. Allow us to be used by you, to just see you move. It's in your name that we pray.